You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. There's a lot of confusion in this world, and we should be able to look to religion to point the way, but we find the same kind of confusion there as well. All kinds of disagreement in religion, serious fundamental disagreements. And if you look at the variety of the different gospels, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation, or the gospel of grace, or the gospel of the kingdom, or the social gospel, or even the Israel message, and many more like that, all kinds of confusion. How are we to understand the true gospel? And I'm telling you that many people have lost that gospel. And the gospel is everything. That's what the entire message of the Bible is about. Is it just how important is it to you, and how important is it that we believe the gospel, the true gospel? And if we're going to believe it, we're going to have to know what it is, what that true gospel is. And do you know, are you sure that you know, and you can prove it from your own Bible? Notice what it says in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he goes on to make it a double curse, that is, Paul does in his writing. So say I now again, verse 9, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, Paul knew what the true gospel was, and he preached it to the people and said, let anybody, even an angel from heaven, be double cursed if they preached another message, another gospel. So I would say, since this has to do with our eternal lives, that we're going to have to know what the true gospel is if we expect things to ever function the way God intended. That's what Paul was talking about, a double curse. Now, that makes it extremely serious that we get this right, that I get it right, that you get it right. And if it isn't right with God, well, then we're all wrong in that case. But what is the true gospel? What is it? What do you know about the true gospel? Now, I want to give you what I believe to be one of the most inspiring introductions in all the Bible, and it's just a short little 12 words and one verse. And yet it tells you so much if you understand the true gospel. It tells you so much. And it should be enough to inspire you for the rest of your life. Notice Mark 1 and verse 1, and here is that verse. Think about what this means to you. Mark 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the message of Jesus Christ. His message was the gospel. It's not the gospel of a man. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came with a message. And it concludes, the Son of God. Now, if you understand what that means, let me tell you, that is most inspiring and just a wonderful introduction to Mark's book. One sentence, 12 words here, and yet people don't understand them. I'm telling you, they don't, and you can prove it to yourself. They don't understand. That's just generally the problem in this world. They do not understand. And, I mean, they have the speakers that teach a gospel, have shredded this verse many times over, and we need to know and see how that is done and how they have done that. So if Christ, see, many preachers do preach what they call a gospel message. But this is the, do they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do they preach that gospel? It is a message. It's not about the person of Christ. It's a message that must be taught. The message that Christ came speaking to this world, and it's not about it's about the message, not the messenger. It's about the message, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news message. And what is that? What is that good news message? And if we get the wrong one, well, then we're in for a double curse, according to Paul. The gospel of the good news, it's good news, and it ought to just fill your life with good news. Your whole life is about good news. I'm not talking about a fantasy. This is real. The only problem is most people don't understand it because they don't really get beyond the deception of this world. They don't understand, but this is the best news this world has ever received. And we had a God come to this earth and die for our sins so we could be saved and understand this precious, precious truth. And if there's a God comes down from heaven and dies for the sins of man and takes a chance on losing his own eternal life, well, it must be important. It must be tremendously important. So if you understand these 12 words, let me tell you, it's going to fill your life with joy and happiness and excitement. And yet, this message has been lost in this world. Most people do not understand it. They do not understand it, and many seem to not want to understand it, to their own pain and suffering and shame. The gospel is the only news in the good news in this evil world. There is no other good news other than this. Now, it's greater than anything you could even imagine humanly. It's that great. So why do most people turn away from it? Well, because they're deceived. They even killed Jesus Christ, who brought the message. And do you know that they killed him because of that message? That's right. The gospel is good news for you. I mean, the best news there is on this planet and in this world. And it is profound, but you need to understand just what is the true gospel? What is it? What is it what God wants us to learn and have us just fill our lives with good news? And that when a world is just filled with all the bad news you can imagine. But God's very elect are going around this world and they're filled with good news and happiness and joy at the same time. It will fill your life with all kinds of joy and peace and understanding. Let me read that verse to you again. Mark 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So it's the beginning of the gospel. This is Christ's message now. Again, this is His message. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news message of Jesus Christ. He delivered a message to this world, and yet there were people in this world that killed him because of it. Now, how do you explain all that? Well, they hated that message because they were so deceived, and to this date, people still hate that message. As shocking as that may sound, you can read over in Malachi 3 in verse 1 where God the Father says, I will send the messenger of the covenant, or Jesus Christ, in the messenger of the new covenant. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the message of the New Testament. Christ was a messenger. He was a messenger. It's the message He wants us to focus on, and people focus on the person of Christ in so many cases, most cases. And that's where the deception lies. What kind of love does God have that He would give His only begotten Son to this world to let them kill Him so that we could be a part of this gospel for all eternity? Now that is love that transcends anything that we can even imagine. It is the love of God. Let me read that verse to you one more time, only 12 words. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, now, why mention the Son of God with the gospel? Why not Jesus? Isn't Jesus Christ enough? No, it isn't. You need Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now that is critical understanding. We have to understand what this gospel is all about. And it is about the Son of God. And if you have a Son of God, well, you have a Father. And there's a lot more involved in this gospel even than that. But Christ was the messenger. And He brought this message to this earth. In the beginning, there was just God and the Word. And then there was a lot more. Notice what it says in John 1 and verse 1. John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But in the beginning was not the Father and the Son, though. Why did God become the Father and Christ become the Son? Well, it's all because of a great master plan that God has for all the billions of people that have ever lived on this earth. Even those that never heard of the name of Christ are still going to get a chance to be a part of this gospel forever through a resurrection. The Bible teaches that throughout. Through a resurrection. But when Christ came to this earth and the Father begot Him in Mary's womb, and then Christ was born, He was the Son of the Father. There was Father and there was Son. There was family. Family. Well, what is that all about? It's about you. It's a plan for you and for me and for all mankind. Notice verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared Him. Well, why would Christ come and declare the Father? Because He is the Son. And this is all about the Father and the Son and opening up of a family for all mankind to be born into if they choose to do so. That's what it's about. God is going to save billions of people and bring them into His family, which began with Christ coming to this earth. Well, the Father's begettal before that. So when you enter the God family today, God fills you with the kind of love that He has for this world. In 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about, Paul said, well, if we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. If you have, you must have hope in this life or you're going to be miserable, Paul says. But if you have this hope, you're going to be filled with all kinds of joy. Now that is biblical, and I'm not fantasizing here. You read 1 Corinthians 15, it's one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. I hope you'll sit down and read it and really think about it. But do you have hope in your life, or are you miserable? I guess those are the two choices, the only two. God's very elect have this hope in their lives. And every human being on this earth has the opportunity to have that in their lives, but they've rejected it because of deception, the deception of Satan the devil. You can read this to yourself, and I'll just paraphrase it, but it says in John 12, verse 49 and 50, that Christ said, "The Father has sent me." He gave me a commandment. The Father sent me, and of what He should say, what I should say, and what I should speak. Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ following His Father's directions like that? John 14 and verse 24 says, "The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." It's all from the Father. Well, there's going to be a family. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to be able to be a member of the family of God for all eternity? What does that mean to you? But here's the problem. Here's where people make their many mistakes. Matthew 24 and verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I Christ am Christ, and shall deceive many." You see, they talk about Christ. They make it just the gospel about the person of Christ, not about the good news that Christ brought. It's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not about the person of Christ. And yet, that's where religion goes off the track, or Christianity goes off the track. "And many shall come in my name," Christ says. Many are going to come with that message, and they're going to deceive many. And it has happened, and it continues to happen, you see, and they end up with a false gospel. Let me just read you a few quick quotes from Herbert W. Armstrong from August 1985 in the Good News. This was just 5 months before he died, and he knew this Bible like few men on this earth ever have known it. Notice what he said, and what was that gospel message? It was the news of the coming kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Well, it is the divine family of God ruling all earth's nations and the government of God. It's what's going to rule in the world tomorrow, that family of God. And it's going to rule the entire earth with Jesus Christ. That the first fruits that are called out now before Christ gets here are going to rule with Christ for all eternity and with God the Father. He goes on to say, and God is a kingdom, that is, the supreme divine family that rules the universe. It's all about family. It is about family. And I'll just quickly paraphrase something he said. Four things are necessary to constitute a kingdom, and a family in this case: the territory, specific location; number two, a king or supreme ruler; number three, subjects or citizens; and number four, laws that form the government. Well, that's what it takes to make a kingdom, but that's what this family is going to be in the world tomorrow. It's going to be a family of God or a kingdom of God. It means the same thing here. Mr. Armstrong wrote, the kingdom of God starts with a family relationship. First, the physical human families. Second, the one compacted together, church. And finally, when the church is changed to immortality, the God family, which is the kingdom of God. Now, you see why Christ, it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that was a part of the gospel in Mark 1 and verse 1. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's a family gospel. It's a family of a loving family, love like you've never seen in a physical family on this earth. The kind of love where one of those gods will die for the sins of all of us to give us a chance to be a part of this. But we do have to overcome human nature. And that's not always an easy thing to do. It's very difficult. He goes on to say, when Jesus was born human of the Virgin Mary, he became the Son of God. He was Emmanuel, God with us, God in mortal human flesh to make it possible for the rest of us humans to be born into the God family. Well, what kind of act of love is there on this earth that would ever equal that? Tell me what kind of an act of love that has ever come close to that. A God come down, came to this earth and died for these lumps of clay that he created. Now that is love like you've never ever understood it before if you don't understand the Bible. Mr. Armstrong goes on to say, but when Jesus was begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he was not, as all other humans, begotten by a human father, but by God, the divine Father, by the power of God's Spirit, which emanates from his very person. When Jesus became adult, he set us the example of praying to his Father. In heaven, he had become the Son of God. And so we have the divine family relationship, Father and Son, that is a family relationship. And they've just opened up that family to all of mankind. All men that have ever lived, they've opened it up for them because they want a family, just like a married couple. They want a family quite often. And they have a family. A husband and a wife want to have children or a family. He goes on to say the church will then become the actual born inheritors of the kingdom of God, the divine family. The kingdom of God will then become the God family, ruling the universe. It's all to become a family. We can understand God's love a lot better if we can understand a loving human family. That gives us a good insight into it, but I tell you, it just strains the imagination to think about God's family of love. And he goes on to say, Satan is subtly destroying the human family relationship. Look at what's happening in this world. Satan is destroying the human family relationship. What does that mean for this world and that good news? Well, it's just going away from it, totally in the opposite direction. And that's why there's so much misery in this world. They're miserable. And he concludes by saying, and in that happy world tomorrow, mortal humans taught and ruled by the God family will learn the joys and blessings of a healthy home and family relationship with spiritual salvation and eternal life to look forward to. Eternal life to look forward to. See, the Father and the Son are going to just have a family of billions. The gospel is the good news of the coming family of our kingdom of God. And that family is going to be the government in the government that rules. They're going to be the government. And they'll administer the government of God. Does that sound simple? Well, the whole world is blind to this. I'm telling you, they're blind to this wonderful, wonderful truth of God. Jesus Christ wasn't kidding. He wasn't talking about some wild fantasy of some kind. Not that at all. See, Mark introduced this gospel with the gospel or the good news message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That Son of God has to have a Father. There's Father, Son. And then there's going to be billions of other sons brought into that family. But you have to believe that. You have to believe it. Christ said to them when he was here on this earth, he said, you have to believe the gospel. You have to believe it. But there were a lot of people there at that time that believed on him that went around trying to kill him. It's not enough to believe on the person of Christ. We have to believe him, believe his gospel. We have to believe his message. That is where we must really work, is to build that faith and believe what He said. Believe what He said and bring that happiness and joy into your life that every person on this earth ought to have even right now. I mean, right this very minute. Look at the what people will do if this is not really a part of them. They'll do terrible things. They'll even kill Jesus Christ. But if you believe Him and you believe His gospel, you're going to have an imagination and a future of a future that's going to absolutely stun you. And it's the most wonderful picture you could ever have in your mind. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For more information on today's program, request our free booklet, What is the True Gospel? This booklet will show you how Christ's true gospel was suppressed and not heard from the first century until now. You'll also learn the startling revelation of what Christ's gospel message was. Many Christians assume they know what Christ's gospel message was, but the truth is that very few understand Christ's gospel. It's the most inspiring message you'll ever learn. Also, enroll in our free Bible correspondence course. These Bible lessons will open up your Bible so that you can grasp the full understanding of God's master plan for mankind and this universe. All of our literature is free of charge. Also, be sure to request a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Don't miss this month's issue, which also takes an in-depth look at Russia's latest power grab. Articles also include an inside look at the Trumpet Daily program, which can be viewed at the Trumpet's website. For a sneak peek at this month's Trumpet magazine, as well as daily articles and videos, please visit us online at thetrumpet.com. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.